Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight to continue in our discussion of the Word of God. Hope everyone had a good Easter, and we know what it was about. It wasn't about the eggs and stuff, but we know it was about Jesus Christ giving his life and suffering on our behalf. It wasn't a sad occasion, but it was a reason to rejoice and commemorate what he did for us, because had he not, we would all be doomed to eternal damnation. So we just grateful that we had the time to celebrate, not a bunny, but we celebrated the risen Savior. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So tonight, last week we were talking about being pulled away from truth, and we've been on this topic for a little bit, but we kind of went a different route about it. But we were looking at the fact in Galatians 3 how the Judaizers who came in, the Apostle Paul had preached to the Galatians and gotten them saved and preached the message of the cross. But some Jews who were beholden to the law were trying to attach themselves to these newly confessed Christians in faith in Calvary. They came to them and they were saying, you know, yeah, that's good, you're saved, but you got to keep our Jewish law, our ceremonies, or what we do in order to truly be saved. And so we were looking at the fact that law is the strength of sin. Law is, back then it was the Ten Commandments, but law is simply any rule, any regulation that we create in order to say we're right with God. We try to add to God's salvation plan. We try to attach works and religious activities. We try to make ourselves right with God or righteous based upon our efforts. And God would not have that. God's plan is complete. God did not need us to add to it. He just needs us to conform to the image of his commandment of his son. Amen. So we know that Jesus Christ is the only man who could perfectly live up to the commandments, God's commandments, and keep it without breaking any law, without breaking any rule, right? So the reason why he had to go to a cross, because it says, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. See, he took that I was cursed, I was condemned. But because he kept the law perfectly, he took this punishment upon himself so that I could be free to live an effective, victorious Christian life here on earth. So the problem tonight, why is it that one of the reasons why we're on this topic is because something has cut in, or someone has cut in on our race to hinder us from living up to this high water mark that Christ has accomplished on our behalf. Something has cut in and hindered us from obeying truth. Mm-hmm. Something or someone has had a big influence in our life that stopped us from living up to God's best, to his highest standard of righteousness in Christ Jesus. So we were looking at the example of the Judaizers, and Paul says, O foolish Galatian, who bewitched you that you should not obey truth? Who has caused you not to use the powers of perception? Not that they couldn't think and perceive or discern, but something disarmed them. See that? Mm-hmm. What good is it to have a weapon if you don't have the bullets?
Amen.
That's where the power is. You got to have them both. But if it's not, there's no power behind the weapon, it's pointless. You see what I'm saying? And so the only way that the power of God can be effective, yeah, I can say I'm a Christian, but Christian in word, it's not about word only, but we are to represent or show the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
We're to represent God in power, not just in word. And the problem for so long is that we've gone through the motions of church, but something has caused us to not obey God's truth, the truth of his word. What has disarmed the Christian that we are now powerfully walking in the grace of God to overcome sin, to overcome self, to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil? See that? So in Galatians 4, we'll start at verse 15. Paul shows what the tactics of the Judaizers were. One of the tactics was trying to win the people over through flattery, through zealously affecting them, but not spiritually well. It wasn't working out for their good, okay? So let's see what happens here in verse 15.
Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me.
Now, all Paul is saying here is when he first preached to them and when he first came into them, they were so enamored with the message, and they were willing to, you know, be there for Paul. Whatever, it didn't matter what he needed, because he graciously preached the gospel of truth. So Paul is saying, I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes, whatever his issues was or what he was had going on. He was saying, and you would have given them to me. That was how much their affection towards him was at that time. And let's keep going.
Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
So something has changed in the relationship. Now, sometimes
truth can be harsh. Truth can, it doesn't
feel good because truth goes against what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know how it is. Sometimes a message comes and it steps on our toes and we're like, But instead of receiving it, we kind of will find something with the preacher, or we'll find something with the ministry or whatever. And really, it's the Lord trying to show us something in us.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So we have to perceive Christ. If they're preaching the message of the cross, we have to perceive Christ, because the flesh is very powerful. It'll cause you and I to be distracted by the least little thing, minute thing or minor thing that has no importance with the message of the cross. And so we'll get distracted by that because we're offended by truth. We're offended by what they preach or what they say that's contrary to how I believe or what I feel. You see what I'm saying? So we can't get distracted. We have to be able to perceive Christ in a ministry or in a minister and in the message of the cross, because all of us have idiosyncrasies that sometimes, you know, we can't, but you're able to overlook the things because you're growing in Christ, and Christ loves us despite our faults, our shortcomings, okay? So we have to be able to look past those things and perceive Christ in that ministry. Don't see the ministry. Don't see the organization. Don't see the minister. But make sure what they're preaching is the message, the overall message, is the cross of Christ.
Yes.
We have to be able to perceive and discern the body, the message of the cross, in the message. Amen?
Amen.
So here Paul says, you know, at one point you would have given me your eyes, but now I've become your enemy because I tell you the truth. So what was happening? These Judaizers came in, and they were appealing to their sin nature or their flesh. See? They were using flattery. They were just trying to win these Christians over to their side. So they spoke smooth things. They said things that they probably wanted to hear. See? So when they did that, these hearers had itching ears. They said the things that these people agreed with. See, we have to be very careful how we hear. Christ said, take heed what you hear and how you hear. Because the enemy will paint an image of something that's not the reality. The enemy will take something that the error always rises in on the back of truth. It may be a true thing, something true about whatever it is, but error will come in and negate that truth, just like he did with Eve. He put one word in that God's command and said, the day that you eat, you shall not. He put the word not in there, and it negated the whole scripture or the whole command, and it caused Eve to entertain it. See what I'm saying? So these people knew how to zealously affect. They were subverting the hearers. They were causing them not to hear the right message, the message that brought them in. This is why Paul said, that if you receive any message that any other Jesus or another spirit or another gospel that other than what we preach, don't embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going, Sister.
They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you.
All right. So the note says in 17 about them zealously affecting them. It says, speaks of the Judaizers attempting to subvert the Galatians in order to win them over to themselves, but not well, not for your good. That's what he says. He says, yes, they would exclude you. What are they excluding them from? They're shutting them out from the benefits of Calvary, from the benefits of grace. See that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The enemy is using the Judaizers. Remember, whoever and whatever's in the flesh, Satan has a license to use. He has the door has been opened. He has access. This is why we can't stay in the flesh. This is why we have to be crucified daily. You don't want to be used, but you can be used and not even know you're used. Acts Peter.
Amen.
So Peter was saying some things, but what was he saying? When Christ said he had to go to the cross, Peter was coming against the will of God. When Christ said he had to go to the cross, his desires were contrary. Peter was not crucified with Christ. His desires were not nailed. His passions were not nailed to Christ's cross. He was not dead to it. So what happened? Because he had his own desires, Satan had access. He was given an avenue, a license. This is why you and I cannot be in the flesh. This is why we have to let God daily crucify. And the biggest thing that gives Satan the vehicle to ride and use us is our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We get carried away with our emotions. We see something on. When I was younger, I used to see certain things, and you can ask my mom, on TV, and I would just get so emotional. I think it was something with the Pink Panther. He died or something. And I just, oh. JJ got shot on Good Times. Oh! I was emotional. You see what I'm saying? And so these emotions have to be under the subjection of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll have your feelings wearing them on your sleeves. Everything everybody say or do, you're going to take it to heart. And guess what it does? It hinders us from obeying the truth. It hinders us from walking in that which Christ has called us to do. Because guess what? Being a Christian, being a minister, being the preacher of the gospel, you're going to encounter all types of people. Demon-possessed, y'all see? And if we get so offended, oh, they call me this name. They're racist. They're this. This is why the spirit that's running rampant with racism, we're not saying stuff don't exist. It's a whole lot of stuff that exists, okay? But the problem is we get more focused, because we're in our emotions, on what we perceive as being racist or this or that. Today you can't say nothing. Everything is considered a racist. You're racist if you say it, Pepe Le Pew, Dr. Seuss. Everything. Everybody's so sent. Why? There's a reason why Satan is pulling us, trying to pull the world. See, he got the world, but the church is getting sucked up in the same thing. If we're not crucified, we're going to be carried away with our own lust and desires and offended. Christ said, offenders are going to come.
Amen.
He said, they're going to come, but don't get stuck there. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome this world system. So we, the Christian, have to learn how to get past our emotions. That's why we have to be crucified with Christ, along with our lust and our passions. Any questions? Comments? I try to leave it open so everybody, if there are any, can ask. So here we see that these Judaizers, now these Galatians, these Christians in Galatia had just gotten saved by Paul, and they had ample time to apply. See, God doesn't want us to just hear the word and put our Bibles down to next Sunday or that Tuesday or that Wednesday and never spend time in the word or try to apply the truth of God's word. He immediately, when I understand God's word, guess what? The Satan going to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And God is going to allow him. Because God says you are equipped. You have the power of God in you. And this is the victory that overcomes this world. The spirit of offense is the victory that overcomes the spirit of offense, the spirit of all this stuff that we encounter, even your faith. See that?
Mm-hmm.
If faith is in the right object, guess what? You and I can overcome it. I don't care if the doctors told you have one day to live. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. I don't care how wayward your child may be. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Okay? If the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, and Elijah had the power, and I'm not saying that you got the power to shut up the heavens that rain don't come down. But at that time and at that moment, that's what God wanted to do, okay? And
right.
Elijah prayed God's will, and it was for a purpose. And his relationship with God and his walk with God and his prayer life and his faith and trust in God's way and God's plans, even if it meant he had to endure a famine. See, he had to endure the drought. He had to have enough trust in God to know that he would provide. And it's the same thing today.
Amen.
God is sovereign. God is ruler over all. Even though it may appear that things are grim and bleak and whatever, we have to trust and God from day to day. Give us this day our daily bread. What did God do? He took a raven, one of the unclean animals. And see, most of us, if we ain't crucified and dead to self and sin in the world, I ain't eating from that raven. Y'all see what I'm saying? This is why the flesh got to get out of the way. And then the brook that God used to provide him with water, and it only sustained him for a certain amount of time. We said this last week. Then Elijah had to go from there. See, this is dependence on God by faith, walking by faith, not by sight. Had he walked by sight, he would have been hindered to walk by faith. He would not have been able to walk in agreement with God, because what he desired, I don't want to be fed by a raven. It's a dirty creature, whatever, bird, fowl. I don't want that. It would see, God was providing, but he would have rejected, because he would have put God on trial, and because God would not have met his standard. See, God would not have been approved in his sight, when in essence it's us that has to meet God's approval. See how we flip that thing around?
Mm-hmm.
And in the wilderness, when they tempted God those 10 times, it was them putting God on trial. We're in this wilderness. In Egypt, we had leeks, melons, and onions. But I bet God can't provide provide us water. God provided manna. He provided water. I bet he can't give us meat. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't obey. So what is it? We are on trial. We are supposed to be on trial to meet God's approval, to make sure our faith is not in men. Our faith is in the cross of Christ, because men are finicky. Christ said, I did not commit to man, because he knew what was in man.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that you got to be suspicious and critical of people. No, he wasn't that. He knew Judas was a thief.
Yes.
He knew Judas and Peter, one would deny, one would betray, and the rest would scatter and leave him alone. But he didn't become bitter by it. See that? That was because he was empowered by the Spirit of God and leaned totally upon the Spirit of God and not his feelings.
Right.
Any questions? Okay, so in verse 18, he says they're zealously affecting you, but they want to exclude you. They're trying to shut you and I out from the benefits of Calvary. This is why people sit in church year after year after year, and they're loyal to a ministry, they're loyal to a pastor, they're loyal to the vision of the pastor, and they don't even know Christ.
Why?
There is no relationship.
Amen.
And the Bible says Israel knew his acts, but he sent them leanness in their souls. Meaning they didn't have a relationship. They didn't know God. How many times have we gone to church with people thinking we all were of the same faith and of the same walk, and outside of church, no relationship. But in church, God is good. Good to see you, sister. We don't know anything about these people and their walk.
Amen.
Because their loyalty is to an organization, to the furtherance of an organization, to the pastor and their vision. And I'm not saying not to support people, but all of us have one goal, one purpose, and we submit one to another when we are all beholden to faith in Christ and Him crucified. When we are all preaching and our faith is in the cross of Christ, then every part of the body will move, different parts, but we're working together. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, right.
And so when one violates the word of God, whether it's the head, the pastor, it doesn't matter. If they operate outside of the word of God, then submission has to end. How can two walk together? Let's say we agree. If we're not in agreement with the word of God or in the word of God based upon faith in the cross, then how can we walk together? So now we're building and doing all this stuff in ministry, but we're not in agreement.
Amen.
With the word of God. So what? My labor is what? In vain. It's in vain. You see that? You know how many people, because they're giving into the pressure to work, to perform. This is people being zealously affected. We need you. Come in our church and work and help and become a member. Join. They're zealously, oh, you got to give. Oh, God called you. But we want you to work right here, not over there. We want to put you right here. This is where we want you. Nothing wrong with doing stuff and helping out, but a lot of stuff is pulling people away, their affection away from obedience to truth. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments?
So if you got a gift of singing, mm-hmm. and you join this church, and you know you save and but you join the church, and they want you to. God gave you the gift of singing, and He wants you to sing. But then they tell you, "Well, we don't need you to sing. We need you to go over here, and usher, or go over here and do this or do that." Then you go over there and you usher. So you're not doing what God told you to do, because He told you to go sing.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. And the pastor is supposed to be spirit led enough to know. It should be an agreement. Agreement to know where that person should be.
Supposed to be, right.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. And so if that pastor spirit-led and that person spirit-led, because you have a ton of people thinking they called to sing.
Right.
And they're not called to sing. So that's the purpose of the pastor and the leaders being that if they're spirit-led, there should be confirmation. Right, amen. But a lot of times if the head is out of sync with the word and the spirit, then people will try to assign you to do things that the Spirit has not placed you or called you into.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Sometimes people behind pulpits shouldn't be there.
Right. Amen.
So you're trying to walk in what God has called you to, and you're trying to walk in it with people who are not called to that. So you'll feel out of sync. You see, this is why we have to let the Spirit. Sometimes the confrontation come or the uncomfortableness comes because God is trying to put you where He wants you.
Right.
And we can't just be there trying to fight. Oh, that's I've been here for 50 years.
Yeah.
I started with this ministry. I ain't moving for nobody. You know how we.
Yeah.
And now you find yourself, God saying, I'm trying to get you in the flow of my spirit where you can grow.
Right.
Sometimes we're fighting and wrestling against God, and you, he can't grow you in the midst of that. So he says, and we read this before, he said in 18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Their zeal for the right thing should be present at all times. He says, 19, this is what, my little children of whom I travail until, or in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. This is the goal. This is what God wants. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified should lead us to. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 in a second, okay? The gospel should lead us to being conformed or formed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is why in Romans 7 we have to die to rules and regulations. Remember, we're not building the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we're not building ourselves. When we get saved, the foundation was laid properly. If we came in through faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified, God laid the foundation. Paul said, be careful how you build on that, because other men and people will come in and they will build on top of that foundation. And you are responsible. You and I are responsible whether we sit under a ministry that tries to build wood, hay, or stubble. See, if they build wood, hay, or stubble on top of precious metals, and when we get before the judgment seat of Christ, whatever works was built of wood, hay, and stubble will be burned. It will not stand the test, God's test. It will not be the judgment seat of Christ. It will not stand the test of time. That's where God judge our works. After the church is raptured out, he judged the works that you and I did here on earth. This is why it's salvation is more than just, I want my name written in heaven. No. Eternal life begins the day you accept Jesus Christ. But that's just the starting line to be changed. Paul travailed until Christ be formed, meaning that they weren't grown. He was trying to get them to the point where they would grow up.
Right.
They would take the truth that they heard, and in their daily circumstances, they would apply it. They will study God's word, and they will try to walk in what they heard. It had to go from their head into their hearts. They had to get out of the way. The Holy Spirit needed to put to death. See, this is why we stay in circles and in wilderness and cycles over and over, and we get bored. When you find Christians bored, that should not even be a part of our vocabulary. When we're bored... Guess what that means? You're not conforming. You're not letting Christ transform you, because there is so much in the Word of God. The Word of God cannot be exhausted. There's so much reading, so much. We wake up, so much time, so much to pray about. Y'all see what I'm saying? Pray without ceasing. There's not just these prayers that we just, you know, quickly do, huh? We don't have to pray all night long. We don't have to pray whatever. See, when Elijah prayed that God shut the heavens, it was a small prayer. Lord, shut the heavens. So powerful.
Yeah.
That the heavens were shut for 3.5 years. Yes, ma'am.
Just pray from your heart and mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you are formed or conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, you're going to be changed and transformed, that the desires of God is placed in you. He done put to death your desire, my desire, and now he's building and planning and putting the will of God and his desires in us.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Christ was still away. He always get in the quiet place. That's why I said people that want to be entertained, see, we all got to find, nothing wrong with it. There's always a time and a place for that. But I'm saying, as Christians, there's so much to do. We should be still in the way. Sometimes stuff infringe on your time. It's like, dog, I could be reading. Oh, I could be. Y'all see what I'm saying? There's so much to learn and grow and exalt. We cannot exhaust God's word. We should be reading the Bible through over and over and over. And each time we read it all the way through, there should be more and new things that we learn. There should be new things we learn about ourselves that's wrong, new thoughts
mm-hmm.
that we are realizing, oh, Lord.
Amen.
That's not the right way. Oh, my, I thought I was going, oh, the Lord is just tearing down stuff. And he's not doing it for us to get mad and angry and upset and to lash out. No.
Amen.
If we're of a broken and a contrite heart and spirit, God won't turn away from us. And the problem is when we sit in ministry, what ministry does is these people zealously affecting these folks in a good thing, these Judaizers, I mean these Galatians, and these Christians in Galatia, what they were doing, they were making them feel comfortable in error.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the spirit of the Pharisees was. The reason why Christ could not reach the Pharisees, because he says, you, told the Pharisees, search far and wide to find one proselyte, or one disciple or follower, and you make him twofold the devil than you are. This is what churches, organized church or religious churches doing. So you get all these people, and they twofold the devil than the one that brought them in or the ones that they converted. You see what I'm saying? And if there was a true conversion to Jesus Christ, there should not be that spirit of those followers that said that we be Abraham's seed. He said, yeah, if you're really Abraham's seed, why are you seeking to kill me?
Mm-hmm.
You see that? If we're really Christians, why are we seeking to stand against God and resist the very things that he supports, and we're supporting the things that he opposed? This is why Paul said, I'm travailing until Christ be birthed in you, until he formed in you. Meaning you're saved, but you're not letting the work of the Spirit to come in based upon your faith being solely in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Your object of faith has to be there only. And they were trying to put it in Christ and look at something else. We need to be circumcised. You see that? Oh, we need to join this. We need to be working over here and doing that. We need to be passing out this and doing nothing wrong with that stuff. But when you think you're right with God based upon your efforts, then God says, the Holy Spirit can't help you in that. Any questions before we go to Ephesians 4? Okay, Ephesians 4. And now look at this. This is the purpose. Now notice before we go in, there's only one church. And go to verse 4, please. Well, no, let's go. We'll start at verse 1.
Verse 1.
Uh-huh.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Now, notice that Paul says, as a prisoner. And he says, as stated, the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. He regards himself as having been made a prisoner because the Lord so willed it and ordained it or ordered it. Now, when I was reading Acts, Paul knew that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem, but he was trying to get to Rome. But he had to go to Jerusalem. And even though in Jerusalem he knew that the church, the so-called church, organized church, the Jews there would come against him. And they did. And they came against him so hard, they beat him, that the Roman soldiers had to go out there and stop the Christ, stop it. Because he was like, these people are going to kill him. So they had to bum rush the Jews, stop them from beating Paul, took him and put him in prison, locked him up, because had they not, the Jews were going to kill him. Okay? And so while Paul was there, he stood before their governors or their counselor there, and Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so because he had to, I'm a Roman citizen. Now, he was standing for the sake of Christ, but at that moment in time, it wasn't dealing with the gospel and wasn't dealing with him, so he could use he was a Roman citizen because he was trying to get to Rome. See that?
Right.
So the Jews were trying to stop the will of God. They wanted him killed. So he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We are called to walk, it says, to order one's behavior or to walk right. The believer must walk after the Spirit. I can't walk after the Spirit if my desires are in front of me or if I'm hindered by some lust and some sin or some desire that I want. See, you and that means our focus is not the cross. We're not trying to live for God based upon the cross. We're walking by sight, by what we want, our desires. And when we do that, then what's happening is the flesh is being strengthened or the sin nature will start being activated and you and I become comfortable in what we know. That's what we came out of. So we go back to what we came out of. We're supposed to be going forward. Walking after the Spirit means you will leave the things that are of the world, of the flesh, and of the devil behind. And so he says here, you and I have to walk worthy. Our manner of living should be worthy of the vocation of wherewith he called us. How to walk? Keep going, verse 2, please.
With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
This is what the Holy Spirit will produce: lowliness, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Some people that I couldn't tolerate or deal with this time last year, guess what? Forbearing one another in love, long suffering, the same spirit that Christ had towards others while we were yet sinners. Guess what? Lowliness, meekness. We should not be thinking more of ourselves than what we are. We should be, y'all know, you look back, you'll be like, man, I thought I knew some stuff. But when the Spirit of God start transforming us, we're like Isaiah. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Woe is me. Because
Amen.
We compare ourselves in the beauty of his holiness. And we have no other choice but to decrease and to walk lowly. Meekness, meaning I give up my right to be right and pick up the will of another. I'm willing to let God eat. Lord, if I have to lose this job, guess what, Lord? Thy will be done. You know what's best for me. If I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a shadow because you are greater, Lord. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This mindset, we have to start being transforming our thinking and mind. But the world will ridicule you and laugh, but you can't care what the world thinks.
That's right.
They're going to call you all kind of names. That's what they do. But if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you don't care. They call him Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. He didn't care. He didn't go fighting to prove I'm right. He knew who he was and why he came. And there we go. They talking about my mom. they call themselves a Christian and look how they act and da 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 da. There we go. Focused on what? Stuff that just pulls our affection from Christ. Now verse 3. Keep going, sister.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Now this is a biggie because it speaks of unity as it regards faith in Christ and the cross. This is what I am to endeavor to do. I'm to endeavor not to break the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit walks in unity with me and I with him when my faith is in the right object, the cross of Christ. When I'm trusting in the cross in my daily situations, situation pop up, coronavirus. Guess what? I can't let what's on the news disturb my spirit. I have to continue to walk in the unity of the Spirit. When it first happened, I'm like, oh, God, where can we go? What are we supposed to do? And I remember it kind of bothered me sleeping because we didn't have no clue what was going on or what this was. All we knew was what we were told, right? But as we keep ourselves composed and keep our minds stayed on Jesus, seek him, let him know how you feel. Lord, I don't know what this is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, it
yes.
will guard the heart. It will keep you and I. And then the more we start understanding and then right or true information start coming out in the midst. Now, we're in an information warfare because the devil's not going to let, just like with Eve, he's not going to let God just give you truth and he not counter it with false information. There is a way to know what's true and what's false in the midst of confusion. See what I'm saying? If we keep the unity of the Spirit, the reason why people can't decipher and know what's true, what's false, whether it be coronavirus, whether it be about these masks, whether it be about this vaccine or whatever, you can't trust the media. They're going to tell you what, because they're trying to herd us all in a direction. So what happens? If I keep the unity endeavor to keep my mind stayed on Jesus, guess what the Holy Spirit will do? Guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus, and he will lead you into all truth. He will point you in the direction of what is true and what, like Pilate said, what is truth? And Christ's truth was right before him. He didn't know it. He couldn't recognize it. He was a governor of Rome. You see that? He sat in high places, high position, but yet didn't know what truth was. Y'all understand? There is a way to know what truth is, and Satan is the master of spitting out false information. The master of deceiving. He's the master of changing stuff to make it fit whatever he wants because he has a goal, and that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The world system is all about stealing, killing, and destroying. Why? Because it's controlled by Satan. So why do we trust everything we hear? You can't. This is what the believer has to fight to do. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Meaning that the only way to keep the Spirit and myself united and walking in agreement is when my faith, he only agrees with faith in the cross. When he sees faith and trust in the cross of Christ, in the midst of whatever, guess what? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eventually, peace came, and it was quick. It didn't happen. It was, I'm going to say, a day. I gave it a day where I'm like, oh, what, when, where, what we supposed to do? And looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he guards our heart and gives us this peace that surpasses the understanding, okay? This is what we have to do as Christians. It can be very tough because what we see can override how we walk by faith. It can get hard, but it's something we do, and we, the more that we do it and trust him, the easier it becomes. That makes sense?
Yes.
The more we endure, more we endure, meaning you got to put a conscious effort. You and I have to consciously realize, Lord, it's not saying that you're trying in your strength, but you got to consciously not allow. Sometimes you have to turn the TV off. I would get agitated by what I heard on TV because it would contradict the truth. And sometimes y'all may get it. And some of this stuff I don't even watch or listen because I know it'll get in. It's like it agitates you in your spirit, man. So you have to purposely, the endeavoring is, I don't want anything to come against truth. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I've seen what the Spirit has led and revealed the truth about this. That makes it. So I have to, and once I get truth about the situation, whatever it is, I have to guard it. I have to let the Spirit of God, I have to walk in unity with the Spirit, and he will guard my heart, my eyes, my mind through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
See that?
Yeah.
I was trying to see what this word says. It says in the expanded Greek, doing your best to safeguard the unanimity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, meaning the Spirit of God should be unanimous. He should be the one that's override. He's the one that is the majority. That makes sense?
Right.
He's the ruling factor in the situation. So I have to do my best to safeguard his rule over my life in the bond of peace. Any questions before I go further? Verse 4.
There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Now, there's only one church. We're going back to that original statement. There's one church, one body of called out believers. See that? We may come together, but there's still from all over, wherever, but there's still just one church.
One church.
In Christ Jesus. Okay? So just because I don't join something over here in New York, y'all see, and that doesn't mean I'm not a part of the body of Christ.
Right.
I may be over here in Detroit with a group of believers that's from North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
South Carolina, New Jersey. Y'all see what I'm saying? And
right.
still be a part of the body, the one church. So there is one body and one spirit, one Holy Spirit who always works through Christ and the cross. And it says this means that faith in things other than the cross is not of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit won't work if he doesn't see faith in the cross. So even as you are caught in one hope of your calling, keep going, Sister Terry.
One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
You see, this one
mm-hmm.
means is that unity, that concord, that agreement. So this word one is more, is not number, okay?
Right.
One, it's just one Lord, but within that one Lord, we have the Godhead. Jesus is Lord because he went through as our representative man, one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, what he did at the cross, that's where our faith should be. See this? If the church get this one Lord, Jesus became God. God has given him a name above every name. See that?
Mm-hmm.
One faith, and we have one faith now. Because of what Jesus Christ did. One baptism. So our salvation referring to believers baptized into Christ, which was done at the cross. And it has nothing to do with the water baptism. So we're all baptized into Christ. When he died, our faith in him placed us in Christ. So when he died, we died. When he was buried, so were our sins. And when he got up, so did we. But without the sin, but newness of life. See that?
Amen.
And then he says, one God and Father of all. See, he speaks of the redeemed only. God is not the father of the unsaved, as Jesus plainly said. Their father is actually the devil. So whoever is not saved and whoever is under the control of their sinful nature, guess who your father is? The devil.
The enemy.
Yes. Who is above all refers to supremacy and through all, God's creative abilities and in you all. So he's in us by virtue of what Christ did for us at the cross. Okay? So now let's go down because I want us to see and show the importance. Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now you read it. You can read on your own time verses 7 through 11. And he tells us the purpose of the gifts, which are he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. See that? What was the purpose? Verse 12, Sister Cherry.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
So the purpose of those gifts are not for us to say, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of T.D. Jakes, and I'm of Joyce Myers, and I'm of whomever.
What?
See, they start lifting up men.
Yes.
And churches and ministry. But the purpose of these gifts is for the perfecting of the saints, to equip for service and for the work of the ministry, to proclaim the message of redemption to the entirety of the world. So we should not be babes 50 years sitting
mm-hmm.
there going through the same cycle, have not taken the milk of the word and progress to where we're on meat and now we're teaching. See that?
Ms. P.
Yes, ma'am.
So, just like you said, if we teach that one, we're all one body, we have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, if we teach this in churches and people will, you know, believe that this is what God is saying, we all are one.
Right.
There wouldn't be all this stuff like you said, but I'm a TV Jack, I'm of this, but I'm of First Baptist, I'm of Second
right.
Baptist, I'm of over here, and that's what gets me so sometimes when people we supposed to be one, but we
right.
all got all these different things that we go through and categories and all this stuff like that. So why in the world can't we be just one body?
And it goes back to that message because we're not preaching the right message. We have divided messages.
Yeah,
we have divided interests. Everybody got their own interests. No, nobody's submitted to God as one Lord or Christ.
Amen.
Or Christ as Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all.
Yeah.
We've not submitted to that. We think there are many bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're actually preaching is another Jesus by another spirit and another gospel.
Amen.
See, so because until we go back to the root, remember I said, be careful how you build. Paul said he laid the right foundation. That's what he did with the Judaizers. But who was coming along to build on this foundation? It was, he preached to the Galatians at the right foundation, but the Judaizers were coming on to lay wood, hay, stubble, and whatever, right?
Right.
So they were laying on this right foundation, which was gold, wood, hay, and stubble. And that will not stand the test of time.
And a lot of people, when they get before Christ, they're going to be amazed.
Shocked, even if they make it before Christ. How much works that they did and laboring on this earth that God is going to burn up.
Wow.
They're going to be amazed that, oh, my God, all this time and effort that I spent doing these things, only what I did for Christ will last. Only what I do for Christ lasts.
Amen.
And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 3 in a minute, but I want to get to this point, what we were making about the purpose of the gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in verse 12, we said that it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God has called each of us, and it's not the work that we think, and it may entail doing those things in church, but a lot of times we've dumbed down what God called us to do to working in the church and cleaning the floors and being an usher, and y'all see what I'm saying? We just dumb it down. But the greatest work is to proclaim the gospel to the world. And the most important thing may not be what you say, but it's the life and the light that you reveal in this world. See that? How you stand. What you stand for. This is what the world is looking for. The world's like, who is standing on truth? I get the most of the people that's not in church that I hear, and they talk junk about the church world because they don't see the power.
Mm-hmm.
They see the
Amen.
Church world supporting stuff that's wrong and not right, and they're like, they're going off on the church, the so-called, the organized church, because all they see is that organized church is just comfortable in church. I'm getting some feedback. We're comfortable with our programs and religious activities, and we're not doing anything when it comes to power, the power being revealed in this world, in the earth. They see the church cowering in fear, saying we're like grasshoppers. Something major happened in the world, and they're so scared, just like the Jews, the Israelites were in the wilderness when they went to Canaan. God gave them that land, and God has given us so much to possess, but we're afraid of what the world has told us. Oh, y'all going to die. And there we go, locked up, shut up, just like Jericho. Jericho said, we heard about this, what happened over there with your God and how he defeated these. Oh, no, we can't. But Rahab said, we heard, but guess what? I want to be redeemed. I want to be saved. I want to get out of this lifestyle of harlotry and whatever she was in. And I want to be with you guys. And they told her, they preached put the scarlet rope out the window, and she, by faith, see, faith caused her belief in the scarlet rope caused her to move and act and go in the house. And when they came, and to wait patiently, and when they came, they stayed. They saved her. You see what I'm saying? Faith in the blood should cause you and I to move, to act, to respond to the convicting power of the Spirit so that when he comes and when he moves, you and I will be preserved in the midst of them coming in and destroying those people outside of the house. You see what I'm saying? The world will encounter problems and situations, but God will cause you and I to stand in the midst of it. Because what? The blood has, our faith is in the blood that's been applied to our hearts.
Yes.
So the purpose of these gifts is to build us up and to edify the body, because we're spiritual building up of the church, until how long? How long? 13. This is what Paul travailed.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ.
This is what Paul was travailing. He was trying to get them all to come in the unity of the faith. But the Judaizers came in with another message, and it was shifting their focus from the cross to whatever this thing that was affecting them, pulling them away, pulling their affection from the cross to men. So Paul says, Paul was trying to get them all to come into the unity. We all need to have the same unity of the faith, meaning that to bring all believers to a proper knowledge of Christ and the cross. This is the purpose of this ministry, is to point people to the message of the cross. Just like the woman at the well said, come see a man that told me all that I ever was. They listened to her, and her message compelled them to go directly to Christ, not their organized church, not their pastor, not their programs and religious activities. They ran straight to Christ, and they said, we believe, and we want to go for ourselves. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. This is the purpose of lifting Christ up. If I be lifted up, he said, I will draw. Christ, if he's not lifted up, the world can't be drawn. This is why the church has to get back to the right message. And this is what Elijah did. Elijah put Ahab and Jezebel's prophets, false prophets, the Baal prophets, on display and said, listen, church, he gathered Israel, and Israel had divided interests. Israel the Jezebel and Ahab had torn down the altars of God and raised up Baal worship all over, right? And so Israel, the nation of Israel, were torn because their leaders were leading them to false worship and false prophets. So Elijah said, God shut up heaven because of this. And instead of Ahab being concerned with what they did, he says, Elijah shut up the heaven. Let's get them. They were looking to kill Elijah, but he didn't want to know why. He knew why. He didn't want to have it addressed. So Elijah says, come, all of you Israel. God wanted everybody to come around. And he put Baal prophets on display, and he put the altar of God. And he had them to build their altars according to the way that God said build it. And he said, whatever God comes and lick up their sacrifices, that's the true God. See that? And their God, even though they called out to Baal hours and hours, he did nothing. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Elijah showed up with the fire and consumed the sacrifice. And what did they do? They killed Jezebel's false prophets. She was angry. And Elijah said, before all this happened, listen, how long halt ye between two opinions? See, we as a church, we got to stop halting. We want to say we love the Lord and serve him, but then we standing on the side of error. And the Lord, and he says, how long? And today God is saying the same thing. How long will you halt between God serve him? If Baal serve him. This is what he told Israel, the nation. And this is what we have to get back with the church. God is saying, if you serve him, Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. The reason why they're not being drawn is because we're not lifting him up through faith and preaching the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. People are not growing up to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is the only way for them to become a perfect man or woman, mature in the faith, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
See? It says the measure is the fullness of Christ, which can only be attained by a proper faith in the cross. We need to repent as a church because we've put all kind of idols, all kind of things before him. We put our church, we put working in church, we put our own desires before him. And he says, the reason why y'all can't grow up is because, he says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, the gifts of the body of Christ, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are not edifying or perfecting the saints and building them up so that they can come to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. See, who this person or this believer functions in maturity. And unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What will happen if we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and point people to him, not to the religious works and activities? Verse 14.
That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunningness and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
This will probably have to be the last one because we're over time. But if we grow up, we will not be tossed to and fro. That we henceforth be no more children. This is the problem. And people get saved. This is the problem that Paul was having. He said, I travail to and birth till Christ be formed in you. Meaning they were children and they would not mature unto a perfect man. So what happened? They were being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. See, we have to be very careful because Satan will use anybody in the flesh. He will use people that sound good. He will use people that look good, that seem like they're for your best interest, and they really aren't. They're zealously affecting you because they have a motive. They're using craftiness. And they are lying in wait to deceive. This is happening worldwide. And when the church, when we go to sleep, Christ said, awake, thou that sleep. Arise from the dead. They were dead to the spirit. And they were asleep to the spirit. They were not allowing the spirit of God to stir them up because something had rocked them to sleep. They were not perfect or mature in the faith. So because of that, they were tossed to and fro. Doctrine come out. Here we go. 40 days of purpose. Next week is something else. There was a big thing going around. I remember one time we were going to do our taxes. This was years ago. And a young man was telling us they were in service and gold was everywhere in everybody's mouth. And he was trying to show us the gold in his mouth.
Did you see it?
No, he said, it's right there. God showed up and put gold everywhere. And that was the biggest and latest thing.
Wow.
What am I saying? Tossed to and fro. I mean, he was into it.
Wow.
So we'll pick up on this verse because I want to go somewhere with that. So this verse here and also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, okay? Somebody can write that down. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Ephesians 4:14. We want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. Our time is up, but we'll complete this next week. Allow God to deal with your heart, to embrace the message of the cross, and then not only embrace it, apply it. Take the word, hide it in your heart, and let it teach. Let the Holy Spirit teach you how to die to self, die to sin, the world, and Satan. And he's responsible for putting to death as long as you and I maintain faith in the cross of Christ. And he promises to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit of God to make us a perfect man so that we can walk in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.